This has been a fun exercise. Not anyway. It's a focus, and it's interesting how you start out with an idea, and as it develops, it changes, and changed me. So it was worth doing. I'd like to say, do you get nervous when you're about public speaking? You don't? I'll swap you. Anyway, my story. I was born 28th of April 1945, and within days Hitler threw in the towel. I remained an only child. My parents got a job managing hotels as a couple during the Depression, and the deal was no children. But in June 1944, the Allies landed in Normandy and made progress, and having made the hotel owner a fortune, Dad said, "It's safe to have the baby." You could say I was welcome. I like that story. So, home was a hotel in the main street of Kalgoorlie. At the end of the war, and the party went on. Memories of a band playing in the wide Hannon Street on a summer night. The rocking horse in the shop next door, and the cook's cocky that called the cat, "Puss, puss, 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 puss." I can remember those things. Then to Norseman Hotel prior to my fourth birthday, and the cake with candles. Two little guests, Diane and Mervyn, whose families lived behind their shops in our main street. Dad ordered a brand new Holden car, a cream FJ with red leather seats. So, where are we? Relax, Paul. God was with my parents and all around. Dad was kind and safe without religion. Mum was umpteenth generation Church of England and just accepted the whole story without it being a big deal. So I was baptised as a baby, had godparents, and my mum sang me to sleep with "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." Little Merv became a lifetime friend, and his family my second family, and they were active in the church. Living in that hotel was an education. It was the hub of a busy gold mining town. We played host to visiting specialists and company directors, members of parliament, authors, entertainers, school inspectors, music specialists, dentists, herbalists, pipe bands and footy teams. And it ran with the steady hum of a cheerful efficiency. Mum and Dad were always sober. It was their job and they were professionals. Bishop Muscamp from Kalgoorlie used to stay when there was any baptising, marrying or confirming to be done, including mine, when I learned my catechisms. He seemed to glow at me with approval. He was wise and funny. On a ride back to Kalgoorlie with my wild godfather, doing a ton on the dirt highway in the big Chev, he said calmly, "I say, Ronald, have you noticed on this road how close together the mileposts are?" I figured God was okay, and I liked his team. At 8, I joined the Norseman Boys Band and progressed to First Cornet over a few years. And I used to try and play every song I heard at the movies without the written music. And the twin sons of the local dance band pianist were in my class, so pretty soon we had our own thing happening. I finished to say, "Oh, the boys are going to take over for a while now while the band has a break." The band would go across to the club and come back drunk a couple of hours later. So the boys got pretty good, really. Anyway, so growing up, we kids played ourselves legless most days. We lived at the swimming pool, and of course we all went to the Saturday matinee and booed and cheered the baddies and the goodies and rolled jaffers down the aisles and threw grapes in season. Before we were 12, we could make and fix most things, cook, sew, shoot, drive, swim, paint, write, dance. The mission kids at school showed us all bush tucker just over the fence and taught us how to draw and paint. And we all had gings and pocket knives. It was like never-ending Easter camp. Bevan would have loved it. Our mum just called us in for dinner and applied mercurochrome and stitched flesh wounds and reset bones. So, anyway, That's all going good, but one moonlight Saturday night after the big mine payday, my dad was locking up out the back and two men attacked him. They meant to kill him with an iron bar to the back of the head, but he turned and fought them off. He grabbed the bar and they ran away. The next morning in bed, there he was, stitches and red stuff the length of his head. I was 10, and the men were never caught. Things changed. Mum covered for Dad's loss of concentration and sleep, and even so, over the next few years, he managed to teach me to drive the Holden out on the Salt Lakes, and I spent a lot of time helping him at work. When Merv and I became targets of bullies, he got us a book on judo. And he taught us proper defensive boxing, and he also taught us not to take it personally and to defend decisively without damaging them, then pick them up and make them friends. It worked. I delivered papers every day for a year and saved up for my own trumpet. And Merv and I used to retrieve golf balls from the bush beside the course, and we bred and sold pigeons and chooks and trap rabbits and always had money in our pockets. So, but when I was 13, the owner sold the hotel and we moved to Highgate to an original wooden cottage built by my granddad, great-granddad, in 1895. I went with Mum to ivy-covered St Albans in Bayford Street, where she and Dad had married. Yeah, no, I just need to stop myself being so... Anyway. Dad helped the Railways Institute apply for a licence and run a bar in their club in Wellington Street. I just walked up the road and enrolled myself at Forest Junior Boys High, and my new friends there soon patched me into the local scene. I got myself a daily newspaper round and a Saturday morning shop job, and I joined the A-grade Air Force Association brass band rehearsing on Sunday mornings in Adelaide Terrace. I'm 13, 4'10". The others are all adults, including four Wasso brass players. The director, that was a shock, I can tell you. The director was also principal trumper of Wasso, and over the next 2 years of Saturday lessons, he drilled me through the whole way through the Arben Clark Cornet Bible from the beginning to part the last. I came second in state under 18 solo comp. I loved the best music, but I hated playing for marching girls or sweeping the hall while the men drank too much beer. I played footy with East Perth under-16s and tennis in summer. I went roller skating every week. Roller skate hockey. More McEurigrane. Anyway. At Forest Junior Boys High, there were only two musicians. At a graduation assembly at my year 10, my piano accompaniment was David Helfgott. It was a great escape for David, who had never before played anything as elevating as Caravan or Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. David then banged out a bit of Liszt on the old school piano. Yeah. It kind of been fun watching him since. So at 16, I'm in 11A at Perth Modern School, and I'm getting paid gigs with older musos and into surfing with my new mates. No more brass band. Dad drives me and Diane to the Modern School ball, my little fourth birthday buddy from Norseman, now a boarder at Snilders. Cool move, mystery girl. Oh, I tell him nothing. God is not part of the scene, probably just watching with fingers crossed. Well, they say if you do it right, you need a year to grieve the death of a close one. And they say you need 5 years, and there's a lot more stuff if it's suicide. In May of that year 12, Dad managed to do it. Mum sobbing, I'm cutting the rope. I ring the ambulance, sat on the step watching people in white come and go. My mates arrived as planned to take me surfing down south. Mum said, you might as well go, so I did. She had Grandma and Auntie just up the road and a doctor to fill her with Valium. I just shifted into a parallel mental universe. Came back from surfing for the funeral, back to school. I had to take an afternoon off for a coroner's hearing, the only time anyone ever asked me what happened and why did I think he did it. Standing in a witness dock, I gave some really stupid answer and went back to school. Bishop Muscamp conducted the graveside funeral. There was a huge crowd of men there, and they filed by and shook my hand, and I felt one hot, embarrassing tear escape and sneak down my face. We tried to visit God at St. Albans on Sunday nights, but it was like going to a movie. He wasn't there. We gave up. Anyway, surfing and dance band and church didn't fit. I've plenty of ways to keep busy. I got my driver's license and took over Dad's FJ Holden. Let your imagination do the rest. That year I drove the very beautiful Dale to the mod ball in my FJ. How does this little ginger Megs do it? My deadly secret. You ring up politely and ask them. In my next five years, I failed chemistry, got through my trick with B's instead of my normal easy A's, accepted a BAID government cadetship in land surveying when I really wanted to do pharmacy or architecture. I just seemed to say yes to everything and charge into it. Being brave, good boy, being busy. No one was thinking very well. So anyway, in 1963, my dance band played the modern school ball. There's a bit of progress going on there. As well as gigs practically every week, followed by visits to some jazz hangout until 2 a.m, etc. And I failed most of first year and lost my cadetship. How are we going for the time, John? Good? I'll keep racing ahead. I then worked in the brakes with Utah on the standard gauge railway project and passed all the failed subjects plus a couple from second year. Got my cadetship back, met my future wife, graduated, rode my Yamaha to Sydney and back, got married. In the sixth year I became a licensed land surveyor in the Department of Lands. All I had to do was turn up, fill in forms, and I was set for life. But also, go bush! And the end of the band work, how confusing. Is there a guidance officer in the house? Oh boy. God got a bit of a look in as Maxine and I married at St. Albans, aged 22 and 19. A very brief look. We lived on camps for 2 years and I paid out my bond and joined a contract surveyor. Heading a six-man crew, I did 400 miles of highway, one through the Kimberley, including the Gibb River Road, and a motorbike prang at La Grange that knocked me out and broke my collarbone, plus a couple of bunch of mining leases in the Murchison and leaving Maxine home a lot of that time. But on the strength of that, I got a top job with the exploration managers for some listed minerals exploration companies based back at Norseman. We did 2.5 years on top money, full expense account for us both, a luxury caravan, and we saved very seriously. We ranged over a wide area, including a memorable job in North Queensland, and I made changes that saved many times my salary. They liked us a lot. As the nickel boom faded, the firm wanted to build an international exploration service unit around me, but it was time to be fair to Maxine, who was longing for a child. We'd applied for an adoption. It so happened that Esperance really needed a resident surveyor. So we put 50% down on a house, set up a business and started our family. I was 28. I had left home. The letter arrived only a month later. We drove back to Perth, signed a form and a three-month-old baby boy was put into Maxine's arms. That's it, good luck. See ya. David's now a simulation software development team leader in Canberra. 11 months later, Maxine gave birth to Sharon and nearly died in the process, but recovered and was happy with her family. I got my trumpet out, played for dances, musical theatre and Esperance Brass Band, often with Lindsay Timms, which some of the musicians here will know, and his mum. So, a huge 8 booming years in Esperance, at one stage running 3 field teams, draftsmen, outsourcing legal and computer work to agents in Perth, hiring bulldozers, negotiating with ministers of the crown, all that sort of, there I was. Due to the distance, I was planner, engineer, surveyor and project manager on many large projects, unlocking old titles that had been pegged out in 1900, redesigning, negotiating shared infrastructure costs and so on. I found good young guys and trained them and paid them to their maximum capacity. We made a lot of money just working hard and charging the standard fees, and we lived simply. By age 36, we owned our extended home debt-free, other assets worth another two houses. I was earning half a house a year, taxable income. Family life was great, community life and recreation was great, kids were a delight in every way. It couldn't possibly be better. So why was I grinding my teeth, knuckles white, as I gripped the wheel driving along my beautiful bay from my office to my wonderful home? Why was it harder to sleep sober? Why couldn't I stop smoking like I'd promised? Why'd there always have to be more? The doctors showed me with x-rays the damage I was doing to my heart and lungs, but their solution to my stress was second old tablets. I took half a tablet and I couldn't move a muscle for hours. Some people take eight a day. Yeah, so there's the last mind drug I ever took in my life. God or church didn't get a look in because it didn't fit me or my life, but I had started looking for answers. My cousin Tony had become an SDA pastor. He sent me a book that really got through to me, except the last chapter that went on about the Sabbath should be Saturday. And other than that, we were all sinners. But the book did the love and forgiveness bit really well, and it touched something. So where are we up to? Okay, so we're living this big life, and I'm starting to unravel, exhausting myself and everybody around me. Then my mum got cancer and I had her husband Ray crying on the phone that she might die. She didn't, but at the time it was probable. Next thing you know, I've had another brilliant idea. I've decided to sell up business and house and move to Mandurah, work in real estate with some friends there. I made up all sorts of reasons, all pretty stupid. And to keep it short, I think I went into full delusional unravelling while giving the appearance of normal. It took the next awful 8 years to come to the end of my wealth and resources and the whole catastrophe. How's the timing? Oh, well, I learnt the real estate game in that state. Still, it's funny, this is the two people. So the immediate person's crazy and the other person thinking very clearly, passing exams, doing all that stuff. So I learnt the real estate game and the life insurance game. I played with my old AFA brass band, including three Asian tours. Taught my son to play and I directed the junior band. I was made an international life member or senator of the JC's organisation and became chairman of the local Senate group. I joined Kings Park Rotary and showed them how to halve their committee meeting times, have heaps more fun and double the membership. I produced a book with my accountant friend Murray and started to stir up some real change in an honest approach to personal finances, the sort of approach that slammed the common sales processes of the time and has now become law. Only took 20 years, but I couldn't make money. In carefully planned set pieces, I was okay, but in person or in the heat of the moment, a complete mess. God was a long way away. I drank too much and started to drink alone. I couldn't give up smoking, but tried not to in front of the kids, so I had to suffer nicotine withdrawal every weekend. I was splitting into two selves, you see, there you go. Splitting into two selves that argued with each other. One's going, I'm not going to do that, the other one's doing it. I had broken teeth. I could peel dry, cracked skin off my palms, and I often crawled into bed unwashed and exhausted and woke before dawn in sweat. I fell in with some unethical types who used my clean business record as a front, and my accountant buddy Murray had to put a wrecking ball into their operation and pull me out of the rubble. I'd walk the street after midnight saying to myself, I won't quit, I won't quit. Trying to will myself, you know, all that motivation stuff, you know, positive thinking. Yeah. Belonging to the weight on the other side of the scale. Murray got me to some people who did some strange stress-clearing stuff that seemed to work well for me and cleared the recent surface worries, but I included myself out when they started on the immortality blurb and I charged like wounded bulls. But I snapped out of it enough to get the teeth fixed and a new suit, and we started to make some real progress. After renting an old place in City Beach, we sold our beachfront unit in Mandurah, bought a house in St Vincent's Avenue, just up from Lake Munger. By now, Maxine worked long hours in sales and management for a big hotel group. Any surplus wealth was long gone, along with the piano and the second car, and there was a small mortgage again. The kids went to City Beach High. Sharon joined the youth group at the Wembley Church of Christ and eventually was baptised. Yeah?
Good place to stop. Good place to have an intermission.
Good place to have an intermission. I'll just go and vomit quietly.
Thanks, Paul. Have a We thought we would, given the detail, given the experience that that Paul's had, I thought it would be lovely just to break it at this moment and just use it as spend a few minutes just reflecting.